Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and also we're going to be in chapter 5 tonight. And I'm going to try and go through this as thoroughly and as quickly as possible tonight. I know we have Lord's Supper. Don't want to get out too late. However, we need to do proper service to God's Word tonight. And this evening, I think this will be a message that will be helpful to us, especially when it comes to our service of the Lord. Because there are times that I think that we're tempted, and I know that we're tempted because God's Word tells us we are, that in our service that we can become self-sufficient in our service, self-sufficient in our walk. And tonight we're going to ask a very important question and also get a very important answer tonight. We talk about many times of being qualified to serve Him. It may be a particular area of ministry that you're in. Whatever, maybe you're teaching a class or you're in the nursery or whatever you're doing, that we look at the qualifications. Are you qualified to do such a job? And we know that the qualifications and those gifts come from God. And tonight also, we many times will, especially in way, our human way of thinking, we will strive to be worthy of that position. And the Bible does tell us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We're going to look at that here in just a moment. But what does that worthy mean? Because do we deserve to serve God in the position He has us in? Or is it simply by the grace of His omnipotence and the grace that He bestows upon mankind that we are able to serve Him? Because at the end of the day, as we're going to look at in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5, two verses, to different verses tonight, we will never be worthy to serve Him. I'll say that. We'll never be worthy. We don't deserve to serve Him. We don't deserve to be saved, but we know one who is worthy. If we could stand together out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Revelation chapter 4. You want to know what heaven's like? Read Revelation chapter 4. A wonderful description of the throne room of heaven. And we see that in the verse number 11 of chapter 4, we see that there is a mighty proclamation. There is only one who is worthy, and that is God Himself. And in verse number 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now verse number 11, let's read this out loud together of Revelation chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And that includes us. We are created by Him for His pleasure and for His purposes. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 12. We see God the Father is worthy, but also Jesus, His Son. Verse 12, let's say this one out loud as well, read together. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray tonight, O Lord, You are worthy. We are so unworthy. And tonight I pray as we remind ourselves, dear Lord, how unworthy we are. We need reminding, Lord. I know I do. Lord, I don't deserve to stand where I stand tonight. You have qualified me to stand here, but I don't deserve to. And I pray, Lord, that we all keep that in mind. For, Lord, we're so tempted to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And tonight I pray that we would humble ourselves, dear Lord, and worship at Your feet. We thank You, Lord, that You're coming back, that we know Your plan is in motion. And tonight we trust it, even though it's hard, even though the light seems to be gone and fading. It's not, Lord. We thank You that we can still have it and hold it in our hand as in Your Word. And we know Thy Spirit is with us. I pray, dear Lord, that You would bless tonight. And Lord, touch hearts. Encourage us, Lord. Uplift us, Lord. I pray that You would put Your words in my mouth tonight and that I would say only what You would have me to say. We ask this time a special blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Qualified or worthy? Qualified or worthy? And I think we can give a very quick an easy answer to that, but let's dig into this a little bit tonight. So number one this evening, if you're taking notes, once again, I highly recommend you do so that you can look back on this at a future date, even this week, and go and meditate on these things. Because I cover a lot of information, right? I cover a lot of different things in a short amount of time. Sometimes we need to go back and redigest it and re-go over it, so I encourage you to do that. So number one, qualified for service. We look at the service we do to God, and by the way, God wants you to serve Him, amen. He wants you to have a position, He wants you to have a place of service, He has a place for you in the body of Christ, He has a place for you in God's plan, He has a place and a role for you. He didn't just forget about you, that you were an afterthought, oh man, He came and He asked for forgiveness, I don't have a plan for Him. God knows, God's wisdom is infinite, God's planning, God is sovereign, and we look at this plan of service. But tonight, I hope that we would never say, well, I deserve to be a servant of God. Because the reality is, this is the reality of who we are. That, and this is what the Bible tells us, that we are broken pitchers that hold no water. We're sinners, amen, broken and scarred with sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, we're selfish. We're self-centered. We're proud. We're sinners. We are not worthy servants. Encouraged yet? But this is the reality of who we are. But it's amazing what God makes out of our lives. Takes all of that. Right? Isn't the saying is you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear? Well, God does it with us all the time. With all that we are, with all our flaws, with all of everything that we have done in our past, God can still use us, and it's by His grace. You know why? We are His workmanship. We are His special creation. We are created by Him. Why? For thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, we go out and see creation. We see the beautiful mountains, which we don't have around here. But when you go and see mountains, and you go and see even, you know, Texas has its own beauty. I encourage you to go out in the country. Go to real Texas, okay? Go out there. It's beautiful. Go in sunset time. You know, there's beautiful times of year. You know, go out and hike and go by the lakes. All of that was done for the pleasure of God and also for our pleasure as well. He gave that to us so that we might see, but also is for His glory. But we understand this idea that the reality of who we are, we're broken sinners. By the way, let's not use that as an excuse. I'm a sinner. I can't serve God. We're all sinners, and we all can serve God. Even Paul said this of himself. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And so we see in 1 Timothy 1:15, if you wanted to look at somebody who had a past, the Apostle Paul had a past. He killed people for the Jews. He killed Christians. He abused them. He persecuted them. He ripped families apart. If anybody was unworthy to serve God, he's saying, it's me, but here I am doing what God wants me to do. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. If it was all about worthiness, man, everybody in the Bible would be in trouble because they all were unworthy because of the past or the decisions they made. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, the best way to get to stay away from pride and stay away from arrogance is realize every day that you're a chief of sinners just like Him. That we are all sinners and that we are by the grace of God, we are what we are. That's what Paul said. By the grace of God, we serve where we serve. By the grace of God, everything. So tonight, let's not be overinflated and like, well, look at all that I can do. It's all about God. He is the only worthy one in all of the universe. But what's the definition of to be qualified? Well, to qualify simply means to be equipped for a task. You know, if you're going out hiking, you need to have some things. Water is number one, right? Have some things with you. Have a first aid kit. If you're in Texas, have a rattlesnake kit, okay? One of those little suction things in case you get a bit that it sucks the poison out and keeps you alive a little longer, okay? You know, those things, you have to be equipped for those tasks because you don't want to get caught not having those tasks. I'll never forget, first time we took the teenagers up Enchanted Rock. And we went up Enchanted Rock and they have those caves there, which are kind of off to the side. Not really well marked, but they're there. And, you know, we saw those caves and said, you know what, we just need to get in there. We're just going to have a great time. So we went in there with a cell phone flashlight, one cell phone flashlight. There were about six or seven of us, and we made it through that. Somehow we came out the other side. I think back on that, you know, we were young and just eager. And I think back, I wouldn't do that again. I mean, now I'd be having, okay, if everyone have their glow sticks, everyone, you know, that's just how I am now. You know, safety first, but we went through there. I mean, it was great. It was an adventure. But guess what? We were not equipped for the task, and we got lost in there a couple times, if that's possible. If it was possible, we did it. We got a little lost in there. But you know what? We need to be equipped for a task, but not equipped in our own wisdom. I understand our experience of life can equip us in certain ways. But at the end of the day, it is God who equips us. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We need to be reminded of this constantly when we're making decisions, when we're serving, whatever we're doing. Hey, we're tempted to lean to our own understanding, what we know, what we've experienced, our knowledge. But can I tell you that our knowledge, you can't even measure it compared to God's. God's knowledge is infinite. And we have to understand something, that if he wants us to serve him, our knowledge, yes, God can use some of our knowledge, but we better not lean on it. We need to lean on God's knowledge. God lets us have experiences in life so that we might know how to better serve him. But at the end of the day, who is the author of all of that? Who is the author of equipping? It is God himself. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not onto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. To be qualified for the position that we work in, there must be an equipping. Amen. If we serve God in any ministry, there needs to be an equipping of the Lord. And also, God uses other people to help us to do that. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse number 19. We see a special enabling of the Lord. Luke 10 verse 19 tells us this. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But here's this, and many people look at that, especially I know young people have looked at that. Oh, cool. I want to be able to tread on serpents and scorpions. Hey, bite me, and it doesn't help. That's not the point of this verse. The point of this verse is that God is going to equip you to overcome the challenges you're going to face, to overcome those fiery darts of the wicked, those evil things that are come across your path. The devil's going to come, and he's going to try and go against you. You know what? God is able to give you power over the power of the devil. Amen. So let's not be discouraged. Let's not be afraid. Well, I don't know if I can do that. I'm going to go up against the devil. What do you think service to God means? You're going to go against the opposing team. And God's saying, you don't have to worry about the opposing team. I'm going to give you victory over them. Equipping. Romans 14, 4. How do we stand in the midst of all of this? You know, we look at the day we live in the midst of an evil day. God, how does someone stand up to all of this? You know what? If you try and stand up yourself, you're going to fall. You try and make yourself qualified, you're going to fail. Romans 14, 4. You know what? The world's qualifications, you know, we see the qualifications of those Ivy League professors of theology. Let's look at how their qualifications of themselves, what it brought to them. Much knowledge doth make thee mad, because they don't have anything close to a biblical Christianity or a proper view of the Bible. They don't even believe the Bible's true. I don't know how you can be a professor of theology and believe the Bible's not true. You don't believe in anything then. And be honest, when you get down to it, they really don't. They believe in themselves and in their knowledge. Romans 14, 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Amen. Who holds us up? God, by his almighty hand. He holds us. David gave that example in the Psalms. He holds us. That's how we're able to stand in the evil day, in the midst of the storm. He's able to do that. He's the one that does the equipping. We're undeserving, but he equips. Well, what are the means of equipping? Well, we need to grow in grace, prayer, and Bible study. We need to pray and have a relationship with God, a real one. We need to study our Bibles and have that time of devotion, that time of growing. That's how he equips us. Another way is he does equip us through the experiences he brings us through. There's experiences here that we can glean from. Also, the investment of others. Discipleship of others, the investing of other people, teaching us how to walk along that path. God uses people to do that. It's important for you to mentor people. It's important for you to encourage people. It's important. Hey, I've been praying for you. I don't know. God just put you on my heart. I just want to send you a text. I just want to share this verse. Hope you have a great day. You know how powerful that is. God tells you to do that for a reason. You can be part of that investment, part of that equipping. Maybe that person was getting ready to quit. Also training. God uses other godly people to train us. I'm thankful for those that trained me when I was in Bible college to be what I am today. I'm thankful for my parents who trained me to be what I am today. I'm thankful for Pastor Harvey and Mrs. Harvey who have trained me to be what I am today. I'm thankful for Brother Hammonds who's trained me in many things, and musically especially, to be what I am today. Many others of you in here tonight, I've learned things from you. That's part of God's equipping. By the way, if we're going to serve Him, God is going to equip. By the way, equipping is necessary. You never see anything happen very good when you hear people like, well, I'm going to go serve God. I don't need any equipping. They go out there, and guess what happens? Things fall apart. Why? They stood in their own wisdom and in their own might. God gives us wisdom to stand. God gives us power to stand. Look at Romans chapter 5, just back a couple pages from where you were, Romans 5 and verses 2 through 5 tonight. Romans 5, verses 2 through 5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Here it is again. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Do you know what tribulation does? It doesn't show us and prove to ourselves how strong we are. Right? Isn't that what the world tells us? Hey, you get through adversity, see, it makes you tougher. It makes you stronger. It makes you able to stand. You know what tribulation shows us? How weak we are and how strong God is. And then we understand even more that tribulation isn't made to say, hey, look how big and bad and strong you are. It's to teach you how weak you are, but how strong God is. That's the purpose of tribulation. And guess what? By that experience, it works hope. And to be patient through it, because God isn't going to give up on you. God's going to sustain you. And that brings hope of that there's an end to it, but also to know that God is going to provide. Are we qualified for service? Only God can qualify us for that. And He knows when we are qualified. He leads us in that. Number two tonight, so I encourage you, point number two, the one who is worthy. The one who is worthy. We definitely see that in our passage tonight. We're back in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. God the Father, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Only God's worthy. Definition of worthy means deserving or to deserve. We're not worthy. We're not deserving of a place in God's kingdom. We're not deserving of a place of service. If we think we are, then we have the wrong idea. Oh, that keeps us humble, doesn't it? We don't deserve to be. Only by God's grace I am what I am. Only by God's grace I stand here to preach to you tonight. Only by God's grace do you serve in your Sunday school classes, children's church classes, or in the nursery, or any other, or in the music ministry. Only by God's grace, only by God's goodness, only by His righteousness are you able to do that. Not by our own wisdom. Oh, that keeps us humble. We are not worthy of our places of service. Why? Well, remember, we're sinners, we're selfish, we're proud, we are forgetful, we forget God and remember ourselves so much. We are far from deserving a place of influence or service in God's kingdom. But some people say, well, what about Ephesians 4:1? What is being said there? Let's look over there. We talked about this earlier. To walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Interesting. We look at this and we say, well, he said that we need to deserve what position we have. Well, the word worthy here is an interesting word that appears. It's the word axios, which is where we get the word axiom from. And an axiom is an established truth or standard. So what is he saying here? He's saying that, no, that you need to be worthy of your vocation, but that your testimony shows what you claim to be. There's a difference there. Because there are a set, does God give us, here's a question, maybe I'll phrase this in the form of a question. Does God in His, by the way, I want an answer, this is not rhetorical. Does God lay out for us standards of conduct for the Christian? Yes or no? Yes, He does. So that will we consider an axiom. Those are standards, those are truths that are established as truth because God said them, and that we are to walk within the boundaries or the axioms that God has given us. So that's what Paul's saying here, that ye walk inside the walk worthy or axios inside the boundaries God has given you. We looked at some of those boundaries in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Not to be once named among you. These are standards of conduct. This is God said, this is what you should not be doing. This is what you should be doing. Walk as children of light. He is saying this is the same idea. Walk as children of light. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Make sure that anything you do doesn't bring shame to God. Remember who we're representing. We're ambassadors for Christ. We remember the position isn't just a position you are worthy of. It is he that is worthy of all things has made you to be what you are, has given you the equipping you need. The word axios here has the idea of what is becoming godly, what is fitting for that position. Always talking about our testimony is what is being taught here. Because the one who is worthy, the one who is deserving is that of God the Father. And of course, we see of Christ, of all praise, of all majesty, of everything. We see that in Revelation 5. We see what are the things Christ is worthy of in verse number 13. Revelation or verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And this is the one whom we remember tonight in the Lord's Supper. The one who is worthy. By the way, whenever we lift up God, we understand we downgrade ourselves. Let's not get, it can be easy, especially when God is blessing in our areas of service, that we begin to think, oh, look at what I did. Look at how God blessed me today. No, God blessed his servant. God blessed his word. And many times God blesses his word in spite of us. In spite of our attitudes. In spite of our thoughts. In spite of our desires. Remember, he is the one that fits us for service. So how do we apply this tonight? So number three, let's look at application this evening. Application. The first one is Romans 12, verse 3. Look over there. We're going to look in two places tonight. Romans 12, verse 3. We know who is worthy. Let's remember some things. This is why in Romans 12, we know verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that here it is, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what's going on here is those that have dedicated their life to Christ, they have surrendered their life to Christ, they are following after Christ, they are following his commands, and guess what he's going to do? He blesses a faithful servant. God uses a faithful servant. Things begin to happen. God doesn't put you in a place of service and say, here, nothing's going to happen for you. I'm not going to use you to do anything. You're just going to work really hard, but nothing's ever going to happen. No, God is going to use you in a special way. Here it is. But when God does start using you, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. Okay? Said through the grace. He's saying, I had trouble with this. This was my issue. I'm warning you about it so you don't do the same thing. Paul's being transparent. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's saying what? Don't think of yourself too much. It's not you. That's why Paul said, if by the grace of God I am what I am. If you see success in your Sunday school or your children's church or music or any of your soul winning, any ministry of the church, you're seeing success. You know what? I did a good job. I did good. No, God did great. In spite of us, we should praise God. God, thank you for using me in spite of myself. And we give God all worthy. Guess what? What they're doing in heaven is we're giving glory and praise to God. When God does something great, man, we say, praise God, amen. We praise God. Why? Because that's what we're going to be doing for all of eternity. Let's get used to it. Praise God. Don't think of yourself too highly. The second thing, we are not irreplaceable in the eyes of God. Well, you know what? You know, no one can do what I do. Really. My dad always taught me this, especially in the area of business. He goes, there's always somebody that can do it better than you can. Remember that. Nobody's irreplaceable. 1 Samuel 28, verse 17 through 18. And, you know, I brought that into my thought of the ministry. You know, there are some preachers that get in trouble and they get into sin. Why? Because they think they're irreplaceable and they'll do different things and they'll cover up sin for the sake of the ministry. It's not right. No man is irreplaceable. No woman is irreplaceable. And when we get to the place where, well, God needs me to be, God needs me. God doesn't need any of us. But he chooses to use us for his glory. 1 Samuel 28, verse 17, 13. Guess what Saul thought? That he was irreplaceable. He was the king, by the way. And he thought, well, yes, God gave some instructions, but it's okay if I bend things my way a little bit. And what did God tell him what was the issue? Let's look here. 1 Samuel 28, verses 17 through 18. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Verse 15, and Samuel said, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Oh, sorry, this was when Samuel is brought up and the seance and comes and told him, say, hey, this, he had already been told this, the kingdom had already been torn from him. He said, but it's given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Not because David was more worthy, but we see that David had the idea of himself that only God was worthy and he was a humble servant. That's who he gave the kingdom to, not to the most qualified. Not to the most, the most humanly qualified, the one with the most human experience, but that's how Saul used to be. Saul used to be humble. Brother Scott brought out in Sunday school this morning, he started out great, but the ending's not so good. Why? He was, what did Samuel say when this happened with Amalek? So when you were little in your own sight, when you were humble. When we become arrogant and full of self, then we believe we're irreplaceable and that the rules don't apply to us. It did to Saul. That's a great lesson for us. It's a tragic story. It didn't matter that he was a king. God is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And the third lesson I think we need to learn is we are not self-sufficient. We need the Holy Spirit's power. We need the grace of God. We can't do it ourselves. I'll say this, we can do it ourselves, but we can't be successful by ourselves. Because it is possible to go and to serve the Lord in our own strength and in our own power. It is possible to do that, but the blessing of God is not there. Even though God's word is being preached and we look at the blessing there, you know, you look at, by the way, we need to look at success the way God does, not the way we do. Because what do we see today? A lot of people are deceived by this. Hey, they've got a big church. They got a great ministry. They must be, now some of them do have the blessing of God, but man, they must be doing something right. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Do you know a lot of the big churches, especially Independent Baptist Church in our country today, they have some very serious issues. They have even some very serious doctrinal issues. They've got some serious issues in their separation from the world. They got some serious issues. They don't even use the right Bible, some of them. God's blessing them. Not necessarily they have a good program, they have good organization. You can make anything big if you want to. But you don't need God to do it. However, is God going to be glorified in the end with all of that? No, he's not. It's all for nothing. But just because, and I use the phrase, all that glitters is not gold. But we need to try the spirits, must be discerning. If they are giving glory to God and they are standing with the Lord and standing with the word of God and God is blessing them, praise God. By the way, I'm not saying every bigger ministry is like that. There are many that aren't. However, we must be discerning and know just because we equate bigness with success, therefore God must be doing it. He is many times, but there are times he isn't. Guess what? These ministries of these televangelists, they have massive multi-billion dollar, some of the ministries. Guess what? Are they honoring God? No. They're lying in their pocket. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're stealing from people. God's not part of that. But they're successful. successful being con men and women, being false prophets. But, oh, they must be getting the blessing of God. No, they're not. They'll get the judgment of God. So tonight, we're not self-sufficient. We need the Holy Spirit. I pray that never a time we step into our role of ministry, our role of a parent, our role as a husband or a wife, our role as a child. We have different roles. All of us have our roles that are different, but I pray that we never step into them without the Holy Spirit empowerment. That we never step into them and say, well, I can do this myself today. I have an easy day. I can do it myself. Those easy days, watch out. The devil's coming to get you. Oh, I know how to do this. I have the experience to do this. No, you say, Lord, I still need you today. I've done this, especially when we've done ministry for a number of years, or we've done a particular job for a number of years. I don't need you, Lord. I've got this. Go help somebody else. I don't need that today. Oh, I pray that we would have that, the words of that hymn in our heart. I need thee every hour. I need you, Lord, because it is only the Lord that keeps us from sin. It is only the Lord that gives wisdom to escape the tempter's snare. It is only the Lord who gives us wisdom to witness in that moment we weren't expecting. Oh, that we would walk with him. It's better to walk with him now than say, oh, Lord, I need you real quick. Can you come help me? How about we just walk with him? So tonight, are we qualified or worthy? God qualifies us, but we'll never be worthy. There's only one who is worthy. Let's pray tonight. Dearly Father, I pray as we come to invitation tonight, and Lord, that if there's some part of our heart that has been lifted up with pride, Lord, we're all tempted to do that. We've all done it at one time or another. I pray tonight that we get that right with you if that's the case. Perhaps, Lord, we begin to think that we're irreplaceable. Perhaps we begin to think that we can do it ourselves. Lord, remind us, Lord, show us, Lord, that we are to be walking with you daily. We thank you for every moment, every time we get to serve you. We're so thankful for that. We don't deserve it. We thank you that you've taught us, that you've qualified us, you've equipped us with the heavenly armor. Tonight I pray that we would confess any pride or self-sufficiency, Lord, that we give you glory. And Lord, that we would seek to have you grow us and teach us, Lord. We pray your special blessing tonight. Pray that you would be with us, be with this invitation in Jesus' name.